Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
It's time! You asked for it and you got it at BruceBuffer.com. Championship introductions at a special rate are now provided for all of you as a keepsake for life, like you are being introduced like a champion in the cage. Just go to BruceBuffer.com. Specials for championship introductions, weddings, birthdays, voicemail, and business recordings. I'm here for you if you need me. Check me out at BruceBuffer.com. From the shores of Malibu where the waves are pumping, to the Great Wall of China, and back to the streets of Las Vegas where the UFC is happening. We are live. This is It's Time Radio, the show where we talk about what you think about but may be afraid to voice. Do not worry. We will voice it for you. We talk about everything on It's Time. President Trump, politics, film, TV, sex, drugs, rock and roll, UFC, and boxing. We're focusing on boxing today with my co-host, TJ DeSantis. Hi, TJ. How you doing?
I'm great, Bruce. This is a fun show. I'm excited for our guest.
I'm very excited for this show. Very excited. And let's get right into the meat of the show. We have a very special guest on. And now, this is truly the moment we've all been waiting for. Presenting the middleweight, super middleweight, light heavyweight, cruiserweight, and heavyweight champion of the world, Roy Jones Jr. Roy, how are you?
What's
always
up,
good
bro?
To
how
have you on
doing?
The show, Roy. Always good to see you. I've known you for so many years. Watched you, been a huge fan of you, and Saturday night proved why. How was it, Roy?
Did it
meet all your expectations?
All my expectations were good. I thought it was going to be. It was exactly what I thought it was going to be. Tyson's a lot. Is still as strong as he once was, so that's a great thing. And I really had a great time with it, you know?
Absolutely. I mean, why not? It's what you love to do, and it's about fun. But I'll tell you the cool thing, Roy, I'm hearing out, is that there's a number of things I want to mention to you. But the pay-per-view sales for the show, I understand, are over 1 million buys. And that's without even the European numbers coming in.
Wow.
Exactly. That's pretty interesting.
Very interesting.
A blessing from God has got to be, because no way I would ever expect that 51 years old I would be participating in any kind of pay-per-view that did over 1 million buys. Not even over 500,000 buys. Not at 51, you know?
It's staggering. I mean, we're talking like Canelo numbers. We're talking Conor McGregor numbers.
Yes. It's
numbers that shows there's definitely a market for this, Roy. There's definitely a market for what they're trying to do here. But what I want to say is, and you don't have to answer it, I just hope you got a nice big chunk of that, champ. I hope so.
Yeah.
You know, one thing that I found from this event, and I think moving forward, it really sort of solidifies the fact that, you know, boxing and combat sports as a whole, guys, is definitely one giant part sport. I mean, the athletes that fill out the ranks, you know, in boxing and MMA, they're world class and elite. But at the same time, people want to see a spectacle. And you know, Roy, you keep talking about your age. It doesn't matter your age, Roy. People wanted to see Roy Jones Jr. and Mike Tyson box, and it was entertaining. Not too many people are complaining. There's always going to be people that complain when it comes to pay-per-view. But at the end of the day, I think you and Mike sort of opened up a new market here. Do you feel that? Do you feel like we might see some of these, you know, masters in combat sports come back and be put on pay-per-view, Roy?
Yeah, I think we opened up a massive door. I think it showed people that people still have interest in things that they once were interested in. And it's like, it's a great opportunity for everybody. I mean, I'm even thinking now, I had a guy call me yesterday and say, Anderson Silva said he still wants to box. I'm like, wow, before I would have said, no way, it's too late now. But now, after this situation, I can't really say it's too late. I mean, I got to rethink that whole situation and see if it's something that I want to revisit, because it may make sense now.
Yeah, you know, it's very interesting you brought that up, because I didn't even think about that. You're absolutely correct.
And just like people like Jake Paul, who I thought looked like a beast on the show, you know, definitely a powerful, still got a lot of work to do with his boxing, but, you know, he was there, he won, he was the underdog. And he's an influencer with 13 plus million followers on Instagram, his brother having over 22 million. All that came in. Then you're going to get the UFC audience if Anderson Silva steps in. It's almost like you're guaranteeing yourself with another couple quality bouts on the card, another million buy potential. You know what, Roy, this kind of reminds me of the old days of celebrity boxing, which got huge ratings the first time it came out, like a 16 share.
Wow.
And it just goes to show you that there's interest in this, aside from the fact that you and Mike are such a draw.
Right. There's a lot of interest in it. People want to see. People, especially right now, with not having much to do, being stuck in the house, being depressed from not being able to travel, having to wear a mask and everything they do. Yeah. Times are very hard right now, and this is a great time to give people extra added entertainment because it's something that we need.
I've wanted to see Roy Jones Jr. versus Anderson Silva for a decade. Like, I want that. I mean, that would be something truly amazing. Like, take my money.
We all have, and now he's open. He's able to do it unless he gets signed by Rizin, who's looking after him. But, you know, Roy, if you can make that happen, I say go for it. Bring back one of the Paul brothers. Have them on the show. But I want to ask you one thing, Roy. One key factor of this fight, this event, that really, I think, worked really well is the two-minute rounds. The two-minute rounds
was
very interesting.
Yeah, that was key, too. That was very key.
Yeah, do you think if it went to three, would that extra minute have really got to you, Roy, at this point in your career, you know, training for this fight?
It wouldn't have gotten 2 minutes if I had trained and got used to 2 minutes. But had it went three, I would have been okay because I was training 3 minutes at first. I was doing pretty good with it. But I think I could have did the three or the 2 minutes. Don't really matter. I'm just glad with 2 minutes because with Mike Tyson, he's so dang on big and so powerful. So 2 minutes worked out. But 3 minutes would have been fine for me, too. It don't matter.
Yeah, I think, you know, there had to be some concessions made with the size, right? Like, I mean,
yep.
Well, yeah, but it's, yep. I think it's brilliant. I think 2 minutes is actually going in a lot of people's minds, especially people that are past their, with all respect, primes in the sport of boxing.
If they pay 45, I think 2 minutes is safer.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, 100%. And you know, I mean, we can say, Bruce, that Roy and Mike are not in their vintage primes, which I don't think either will disagree with you. But a million buys, like, man. It doesn't matter what the primes are. Like, people are still interested, and that's something to be proud of. And, man, the possibilities here, endless, honestly.
Let's talk prime and how they look. Roy comes out. The man moves like a cat. It's always been fascinating to watch the way Roy moves around the ring. Nobody moves the way Roy moves. Nobody ever has. Nobody ever will. And I saw the Roy of old coming out. And then I see Tyson coming in. Roy, how did you feel when he walked in with his black trunks, no socks, you know, in the shoes? What did that and the thing over his shoulders? What did you think about that? Was like the Mike of old, or I know you don't get intimidated, but what were your thoughts?
It was vintage. It was vintage Mike. I was like, yes, vintage Mike Tyson. I can't wait. I can't wait to be a ring. Wow.
Yeah, exactly. How did that first body shot feel, Roy?
Oh man, it was something I never felt before. I said, holy cow, this guy still got power. You know, so I said, okay, let me go on tight and show that we both still got power, you know?
Absolutely, no question. And his bobbing and weaving the whole bit. There was another first the other night, though, Roy. This whole show was very entertaining with the music and the hip-hop and everything else. Snoop Dogg coming in at the last minute. I think, I forgot who he replaced, but he came in at the last minute, did his 6, 7, 10-minute, you know, hip-hop bit, which was great. How did you feel walking in after all that pots being smoked in the arena? My brother said it definitely smelled like, you know, skunk a little bit when he got in the arena. That had to be a first for you, Roy. I mean, you're one of the most elite athletes ever.
Yes.
And now you're walking out to do your thing, and you've got cannabis smoke all around you. Did you feel it? Did you smell it when you walked in?
No, I didn't smell it, but it definitely was a first for me. And I knew what the situation was, but I didn't smell it. And, I mean, you know, it's like back in the day, if you had uncles and aunts, you kind of knew what the smell was. So I knew what the smell was from when I was a child, way back in my early days. It would not have bothered me because now it's kind of legal too, so everybody does it. But
right.
At the same time, I was used to it, and it's something as a professional athlete, I just kind of overlook and keep going, you know? So it wouldn't have bothered me none.
Good. No, I you know, it didn't bother me either. I think my older attitude is that maybe it wasn't right at first. I wasn't used to commentating with the cursing and this, that, and the other that came out. But, you know, this is the world in which we live right now. And I have to, you know, I'm always honest, but I mean, let's face it, boxing fans are not coming in at the rapid rate that they are to the UFC and MMA. They're more like falling off. This was a way to bring in the younger fans with the Jake Pauls, you and Mike.
Exactly. They need something like this to give them a reason to be able to participate and feel comfortable participating, or they're not going to participate.
Right.
You know, it's like you got to give them. So you got to adjust to the times. If you don't adjust to the times, you won't make the cut.
100%.
You have to adjust to the times.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, it's a spectacle, guys. You have to have that part of spectacle to get people to come in, and you'll hook them with high quality boxing. And I feel like that's the move going forward. I love how Roy says that. You know, when I was a kid, you know, aunts and uncles. You got used to that. Everybody had that uncle. I'm telling you, everybody had that uncle that was at the barbecue that was going over in the corner, and all of a sudden it was like, wait, there's skunk around.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Of course. And Roy, now Snoop Dogg's gone out. He's announced that he's going to be doing the Fight Club, you know, another boxing.
Who's that? Who's that? Boxing league. Who's that, Bruce?
Snoop Dogg's announced that he's launching a pro boxing league called Fight Club. Okay. And obviously now I think what this Saturday night did is it lit up a lot of people's entrepreneurial minds to go forward. Uh-huh. And this was a big shot in the arm for boxing. We'll see where this goes.
Yes, it was.
How do you feel about that, Roy? I mean, you're a man that knows, eats, breathes, lives historically everything about boxing. Then you have somebody like Snoop Dogg comes in who really appreciates boxing. He's not a boxer. But how do you feel about people that are not really adept at boxing now saying, I'm going to be a boxing promoter?
Well, I like it because I know that Snoop understands and knows how to reach out to the right type of people like myself to help guide and make that the best situation. So he'll come in and say, hey, Roy, what you think we should do? You think we should do A, you think we should do B, you think we should do C? Let's figure out what you think makes best. And that's the way I think that we make things happen better. You don't go to a basketball situation and not include Michael Jordan. You feel me? Because Mike was the best. He was the greatest. So if you want to have success, you go find from the greats what you need to do to make it successful. You feel me? So I think Snoop has that in his mind already because, you know, Snoop's always been a Roy Jones fan, and Snoop knows what it is to get it, to be involved with the right people, you can ask them, and to make it happen the right way. So,
and it goes back to what we were talking about. Like Snoop's the entertainer. Snoop is the promoter.
Yeah,
that's who you want. And then you got Roy who knows what he's doing when it comes to the business side and the finer points of the sweet science.
What you also have is you have Snoop who has the Midas touch. Everything the man touches turns to gold. You know, he's very successful.
Right, exactly.
Or green.
Exactly. If they just turn to gold.
Maybe green.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Roy, when I was watching the hip-hop artists, you know, coming out like Snoop, I thought, where are the twins? Your boys. Are they still rapping? I saw them feature in HBO years ago. I was thinking maybe they were going to pop out there for a second.
Well, what's funny, let me tell you this, it's funny you say that because, you know, the song that I came out to?
What was that again? Sorry.
The song that I came to the ring to, my intro song, one of the twins made that beat.
Oh, wow.
Oh, really?
That's awesome.
I like that, by the way.
Yes, one of the twins made that beat.
Very cool. So, Roy, the big question, what's next for you, brother? What's next for you?
Well, like I said, I don't know what I'm sitting back thinking. The Anderson Silva thing sounds good. I heard Mike say something about he might want to rematch, which I don't know. I want to go back in there with Mike, but I mean, it's possible because Mike's a very strong guy, but I mean, and he wants to win, and I want to win. So I know the second time will get even worse because we both desperately want to win, and it's going to be something to see. So it's like, I don't know if it's best to go that route or if it's best to play smarter and go to Anderson Silva route because he's more my size, my natural size, whereas Mike is not my natural size. So I think with Mike, and he want to get a knockout, and I want to get a knockout, and both of us want to win. It's a different situation, you know what I mean? So,
I mean,
you know, we'll see what happens.
Take it for what it's worth. I'm just a MMA nerd, but I think the Anderson Silva fight makes a lot of sense. I think both Anderson and Roy are where they need to be for this fight to happen. Anderson would be beyond honored for that to occur. Right. And I think, you know, we talked, Bruce, about getting, you know, these MMA fans, you know, involved in boxing and whatnot and getting younger fans involved in boxing. I think that would be one of the greatest, if not the greatest, cross-promotional things between the two sports that we've ever seen. And I think to steal a word from you, Bruce, it's time.
I've got it right here. You know, my business mind, my marketing mind is working. I'm a marketer before an announcer, before anything I do first. Here's the card. Here's the card, Roy. Holyfield and Tyson, Michael announcing, you and Anderson Silva, me announcing, and then your whole undercard underneath with somebody else announcing. There's your card. Your
next sounds freaking awesome.
And I'll commentate.
Freaking awesome.
Make sure you include
awesome.
Me. In
we could market the hell out of that one. Definitely.
Just leave
Heck
me hanging.
Yeah, we could.
Both of you. Leave me hanging.
Heck yeah, we could.
No, go ahead, TJ. Go ahead.
I'm just saying.
TJ DeSantis commentating. Right,
thank you. Oh, by the way, Bruce, I'll be commentating RJJ Boxing on UFC Fight Pass next Wednesday and Thursday, live from San Carlos,
awesome.
Mexico.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Speaking
about commentating, Adesanya, he did a great job. I thought for what he did.
He did a really good job. I was surprised.
Very good. And, you know, Mauro Ranallo on there. I mean, the whole show was put together so well. I know it's crazy with these COVID times because, I manage Michael and I made the deal for Michael and I had to get all the safety and protocol in place with what they were doing, which kept changing daily. How many times were you tested last week?
A thousand. I was tested and tested again. So it's like they taking swab at your nose, body taking piss. They taking swab at your nose, body taking urine. They taking swabs in your nose, body taking blood. They taking swabs in your nose, body taking more urine. I'm like, hot dang. For exhibition, this is the most time. Most I've got tested my entire life, and it's supposed to be an supposed to be an exhibition. That's all crazy. These tests, and it's supposed to be. I got tested more in this exhibition than I ever been tested in my full real career in my whole life. I'm like, what the heck is going on?
Amazing. Whatever went into it, and your train. How many weeks did you train for this fight, Roy? Compared to one of your past fights, I think I did twelve weeks.
Yep, I thought I did 12 weeks.
12 weeks.
4 weeks.
Yep, I used to do 8. I used to do 6 to 8. I did 12, and I think I overdid it, but it's all good.
Well, it was fantastic, Roy. It was awesome to see it happen, and I think Bruce and I think speak for a lot of people that we want to see it again, man. Anderson Silva, whatever. That'd be pretty amazing.
I'm putting it in. Well, I don't want to die for it, Roy. Anderson Silva and you, Tyson and Holyfield. Next big $1.5 million.
Let's get it.
There we go.
Let's get it.
All right, Roy. Appreciate it, sir.
Nice to talk to y'all.
Roy. Thank you, champ. You take care, buddy, and happy holidays, Bruce, Roy.
Same to you all, okay?
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, buddy.
There he is. Okay. The great Roy Jones Jr. giving us a few moments. He's a busy man, and he should be, Bruce. I mean, you look at those pay-per-view buys. And the amount of money that, is coming in based on, the efforts put in by Tyson and Jones. And also, Jake Paul is a huge draw. This isn't exactly the type of combat sport event that I think that I would generally support. But they did it so well, Bruce, that it's hard not to. I mean, there's real athleticism and skill that was on display that night. Yeah, it's not the traditional combat sports card. But that doesn't mean it was bad by any means, and I think we see that played out with these numbers.
It wasn't bad by any means because, Roy and Mike fighting, we're all thinking about their primes, watching them in their post-prime. They put on a prime-time effort, prime-time show.
Yeah.
Jake Paul coming in, new to the boxing world, lots of improvement needed on boxing, but he beat somebody that was supposed to beat him. He's an animal, a powerful fighter, boxer. And I was talking to Logan, his brother, yesterday. We were talking about some stuff. And Logan says, he and his brother are out to not change the world of boxing, but to enhance the world of boxing. They have big plans. And I think the two of them, along with events like this, and I'm thinking about, again, the marketing aspect, boxing fans, with all respect, are falling off age-wise. We need, in order to flourish any product, event, whatever, you have to bring in new blood.
Mm-hmm.
You can have 1,000 people buying your product, but if 10% fall off a year in 10 years, if you don't have one new product buyer, you've lost your whole business. You have to constantly keep bringing in new people. This event, which I was with a group of people in a COVID-safe environment at Kristen's house out back, they built a theater, we were all distance. We had a blast.
Right.
The kids had a blast.
Yeah.
The 20-somethings there had a blast. It was only like 12 of us, but everybody enjoyed it.
And that's what it's about.
Demographic.
That's what it's all about, Bruce. And that's one thing that I think mixed martial arts really benefits from is it's a younger sport. It's always been a younger sport. And it's going to be a younger sport for a very long time, meaning you get you know, young kids that are interested when they're 16, 17 years old, and they can enjoy. I mean, I've been watching MMA since I was 17. You know, I'm 37. Like, that's 20 years, Bruce. And I mean, you were in the octagon the entire time. But, you know, like, you think about it, especially when you look at the older boxing generation, the hardcore fans are historians. And
totally.
It kind of goes both ways. One, they celebrate and love and adore and honor the time-tested tradition of boxing. But they become so stuck in their ways, if you will, when it comes to how the sport should be viewed and promoted. And I think that's one thing that is always a hurdle with boxing is you have these people that are criticizing these sorts of moves. And yeah, if every boxing card featured Jake Paul, Bruce, it wouldn't be a good idea. I wouldn't like that. I wouldn't support that.
Here's the key.
But the one-off, get those younger fans.
Here's the key. I'm going to go back to, you're right, TJ. Here's the key marketing-wise, okay? Celebrity boxing, like I said, came out to a 15-plus share, almost a 16 share when they had their very first show.
Right.
They promoted another one like about 3 months later. It fell down to about a 7 share.
Right.
Okay.
The novelty wore off pretty quick, but that's still a great number.
It's still a great number. What you do with this is you have this kind of event twice a year, okay?
I like that.
Twice a year. You create the fanfare, let boxing with the pros that are establishing themselves in boxing do their weekly boxing shows for the sport of boxing. And you have this spectacle, right, combined with boxing twice, maybe at most 3 times a year at most.
Right.
But I would say no more than twice in the next year. Do this once in another 5 months. See how it goes. If the numbers come in with maybe a 20% drop or a 20% increase, boom, you bang out another one 3 months later.
Right. And so, I think, Bruce, that time period to sort of play and massage with a lineup on paper and figure out what the fanfare and the reception is will give you enough time and information to make the proper moves. Because you think about celebrity boxing, what was that, like 1999, 2000, something like
that? Yeah, you got it right about that.
Right. So there was no social media then. It was very difficult to get. You know, I'm not trying to be funny here with what we call with Sammy market research, but it was very difficult to get market research done to figure out how to really appeal to the people that were going to be interested. And obviously they had a captive audience at first, but it quickly evaporated. Now I think you can literally go out and ask your clientele, if you will, you know, what are you thinking? Not directly, but you start leaking out information, start, you know, playing with names and see essentially what people want and what they're willing to pay for. And if you do that and do it the right way, Bruce, I think it'll be phenomenal. And then if you're the traditional boxing promoter, I think you schedule, you know, a Canelo fight or something of that level, you know, the week after, so you can try to cash in on the buzz that is going on with boxing.
You put the promos on the show the week before. Very good, TJ. Very good. Very good. You also want to do another thing.
Yeah.
This was a spectacle, and what it was not the spectacle I'm referring to at the UFC when the rules were like no rules.
Right. That's a different
spectacle. I'm not talking about a gladiator spectacle. I'm talking about an entertainment spectacle.
Right.
Okay. And you had the entertainment of Snoop Dogg and the other person that performed. And now the next one, you bring it back, you change it up a little bit. Okay. You bring back, maybe have Steve Aoki in the DJ booth doing the songs in between with his massive following, and he promotes the hell out of it.
Yeah.
You have another. You bring in somebody else. I know Wiz Khalifa, I think, was the one that Snoop replaced. You bring in him. You bring in somebody that fits it. And you create the same show again.
It's
and you
a
constantly
show.
Change the
right.
entertainment.
Yeah.
Now, here's another note. Michael Buffer, my brother, and I were talking yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Michael was there. Of course, I only had him announce, and he only announces one event a night. But that's why I said I'll announce the Anderson Silva-Roy Jones fight. That would be a lot of fun and bring a lot of fanfare. Well, I don't mean to pat myself on the back, but hopefully it would bring a lot of fanfare
100%.
To the show.
100%. I mean, I'm sorry. I don't want to like get derail you, but it bummed me out that you didn't introduce Connor. You know, it would have made sense for you to introduce Connor when he fought for
you. You know the story there? I had the jacket made.
I
was all set up until 2 days before when Showtime poo-pooed me. So here's the thing. Tyson Fury, the other heavyweights out there, Holyfield, Lennox Lewis. These people, even though Tyson's a modern-day fighter, Tyson's a showman.
Right.
Tyson would jump into this non-sanctioned two-minute rounds to fight somebody in a heartbeat, in my opinion, and in Michael's opinion. Lennox Lewis could maybe come back, okay? The Klitschko brothers,
right?
All right? This opens up a whole new door
right. And if you temper expectations too, and go, look, it is an exhibition. It is 2 minutes. Like, don't expect us to like really foster a division where we're going to have titles. It's not about that. We're not trying to figure out, because I mean, no disrespect, these aren't the greatest boxers in the world right now. Maybe all time. Maybe in their prime. That's an argument for another day. But this is about getting them in the ring and giving them an opportunity to do what they still love to do and have a fun time. Puncher's chance.
Get them in there to take a puncher's chance.
Right. Right. Yeah.
Hey, let me segue for a second real quick. I just got word, just came over on the show. The state of New Hampshire has just accepted puncher's chance for all the state liquor stores.
Nice.
Okay. Going to be in New Hampshire. Now, I'm going to go down the list for those of you that are writing me all the time. Where can I get puncher's chance?
Just real quick. Don't forget, we still have to talk to Dean Tool from RJJ Boxing and the Icon Fighting Federation. We'll take a quick break after you give us the great news about puncher's chance.
All right, here's the list of states, guys. Everybody's been asking me. Everybody. I mean, the people that have been asking me, but it's a lot of people. Puncher's chance is selling as fast as we can make it.
That's
the term goes, it's selling like hotcakes.
That's great.
It's quality.
Yeah. Okay.
Did you get your bottle?
So I was told by my wife this morning that a box arrived from Bruce Buffer, and it's on the doorstep. Yeah. You can guarantee that I will be. I might even share some with Roy. You know, we got this RJJ Boxing coming up. You know,
do and tell Roy I'll send him a bottle. In Florida, you can get it anywhere, but I'll send Roy a bottle. I'd love to send him a bottle. No problem. Sure. But enjoy it. And Ariel Helwani put out a really nice post
night. I saw it. He's trying to do his Bruce Buffer impersonation.
Oh, he got ripped on that one.
Oh, man. I mean, that's the thing. Either you can do a pretty good imitation or you can't. And I have yet to see a really good imitation.
It's all the height of flattery. I'm happy. And Paul Felder, he put out a nice bid. A bunch of people got bottles the other day. You have yours waiting, and I expect a nice little post from my partner, TJ.
Oh, 100%. And honestly, Bruce, like...
If you like it. If you don't like it, don't post.
I mean, I've never drank, but the bottle looks badass.
You'll feel this.
The bottle is badass. You know, it looks good. I'm excited to put a video out there for you, because I know this is something that you've been working on for a very long time. You can go back to the archives of this show and hear you saying, you know, I got something really big up the pipeline. I can't talk about it. But, you know, if you look at Clooney and his tequila brand and all this, you're talking about getting into that game, and it's finally here, Bruce. And obviously the success is following it, and it's unbelievable. And hate to say it, also expected, because you don't do things half-assed.
I don't do them half-assed, babe. Thank you so much for that. I appreciate it. And George Clooney, if you're listening to the show, if I get to sell my company for $500 million to $1 billion like you did in about 3 to 5 years, which I'm not really running to, I just want to build a successful business. But, Ryan Reynolds just sold his gin company for $600 million. That's the nature of the beast in this. Conor McGregor is probably proper 12 now. It's probably got a value of, I would venture to guess, $300 to $400 million if he was ever to sell it when you move a couple hundred thousand cases. But, George, I will be getting a house next to you in Lake Cuomo. Be prepared to ride your bike with me to get our bread and cheese in the morning for breakfast.
There you go.
Dream.
That's a dream. It's time to get on the bikes and ride with Clooney.
Exactly. So here's the list, guys. Puncher's 12. Listen to that.
That's if you mix the two. I don't suggest that.
Connor, I'm giving you a little promo, babe. All right. So New Hampshire, state liquor stores. Massachusetts, most all package stores in Massachusetts are carrying proper 12. Rhode Island, all package stores.
Puncher's
most
chance.
Of them carrying Puncher's 12. Listen to the slip.
Man.
It's so funny.
Connor's in your head.
Connor, send the check.
Yes.
Okay. Michigan, hundreds of independent retailers carrying Puncher's Chance. California, Winco and hundreds of indie stores are carrying it. In California, if your store does not carry it, ask the manager to bring it in, and he will. In Texas, Costco and Goody stores.
That's huge. Costco everywhere in Texas.
Wisconsin, hundreds of package stores. Minnesota, your place, hundreds of package stores. Georgia, hundreds of package stores. Arizona, Winco stores. Kentucky, it's at Liquor Barn and Total Wine and hundreds of package stores. Indiana, it's in Big Red, 21st Amendment, Crown, Payless, and hundreds of package stores. Florida, hundreds of package stores and all the Winn-Dixie grocery stores.
I don't think we have time for you to finish this entire list, Bruce. That's great. But like, listen to these names. These aren't just mom and pop shops.
No.
You know what I mean? The Costco's, the Total Wines, like That's this is happening, Bruce. Good job. You should
Thank
be really
you,
proud.
Friend. Thank you. I'm so proud. And there's so much more to go because our target is, listen, the average craft distributor moves about 3,800 cases in the first year. Okay. We've moved 10,000 in the first 2 months.
Oh my God.
We are only moving about 15,000 cases this year planned.
And
next year—that's
demand, Bruce.
Next year, will be 70,000 cases or more.
That's unbelievable, and that's demand. Like I said, that's not you just stocking
demand.
Shelves and it sits there. Like you're never going to get past 5,000 units if they're not flying off the shelf. So, that's unbelievable.
Wait, do you see the point of purchase advertising with my mug and everything else coming out, you know, that'll be on the in the stores, too. It's going to be a lot of fun.
That's awesome.
Anyway, right. Here's the goal, guys. And we're off proper puncher's chance 12.
Right. Yeah. 12 rounds where you have a puncher's chance.
I'm just playing. We're off puncher's chance for a second. But we will be in all 50 states by July. And then by July of 2022. Will be in every single store in the country.
July of 2022. Those are plans, Buff. Wow.
That's July next year, every state.
Well, next year.
July 2022, every liquor store.
Next year's 2021.
2021, July, every state.
Okay. All right.
2022, every store that sells liquor
Got
in every state.
Unbelievable.
That's the goal.
That's phenomenal. All right. Let's we got to take a break. We got to get Dean.
Yeah, bring him on. Let's bring him on.
Well, we got to take a break. You got to say, hey, we're going to take a break.
Enjoy your holidays. Take your puncher's chance. Enjoy. And by the way, a website will be up in January. No matter where you are, you can order it directly to your house.
Perfect.
Got it.
Because no one leaves anymore. All right, we'll take a break. Dean Toole is next.
Okay.
It's time with Bruce Buffer.
It's time. It's time, babe. Well, that was a lot of fun with Roy Jones Jr. I mean, what can I say that we haven't already said on the show? But I'm looking forward to the next entertainment spectacle, TJ. It's going to be a lot of fun. And somebody that works with Roy and
me.
This
guy's
you,
like,
of
yeah.
Course. We got to bring that up.
He might be my boss. I don't even know.
Hey, listen, Dean, boss him around for me in the show a little bit. Slap him around and make it a lot of fun. But right now we're going to bring on Dean Toole, the head of Icon Fighting Federation.
Matchmaker of Icon.
Matchmaker?
Listen,
sometimes I think the matchmaker is the head of the show. Because
kinda,
you know
right?
what? If the matchmaker doesn't make the right fights, the show doesn't make the right money. You know? You never know.
100%.
I knew Dean would agree with that.
And I'm pretty sure, Bruce, matchmakers, like, they end up doing everything at one point in their career other than maybe, like, being a card carrier. You know, like a ring girl. You gotta set up chairs, you gotta move tickets, you gotta book fights, you gotta pursue people, you gotta deal with managers. Like, do you sleep during fight week, Dean?
I don't sleep ever, and not even just fight week. It's when you match make or match fights, you're constantly dealing with fighters, managers, the whole entire nine all over the world. You have guys on the West Coast that are waking up or going to bed a lot later. When it's 1 o'clock in the morning here, it's 12 o'clock there or 11 o'clock there. So it's a nonstop 24 hours. Normally an average day is like an 18 hour day of nonstop talking on the phone.
Yeah. And I think this upcoming week is even going to be more crazy. If you have a UFC Fight Pass subscription, which everyone should go sign up now, UFCFightPass.com, three events going down in San Carlos, Mexico with Icon sort of, capping the week on Friday night, but preceding it will be two nights of RJJ boxing. It's a weird time, Dean. It's very hard to get fight shows built and executed and in the ring with COVID, but RJJ and Icon's got a pretty sweet deal going on in San Carlos, and obviously people can watch it on Fight Pass, but I think you've been really fortunate to get this show going and keep that flow during a pandemic. And you're doing shows internationally, which, I mean, is hard to pull off when times are right. But during these times, it's got to be extra difficult.
No, absolutely. Well, a question.
Yeah, it's been a task. I mean, the cool thing about our event is I deal with people from all over the country. So a lot of people that do regional shows. And also, you know this, I also own Island Fights.
Yep.
So I'm the promoter and CEO of Island Fights. It's also on UFC Fight Pass. So a lot of people consider certain shows regional events that are outside of Bellator or the UFC. I don't see us like that because we're using athletes from all over the world. So in doing so, the easy part for us to match make these events, because it's a nightmare with COVID. You know, people are backing out and they're dropping out every day. You know, right. Every day the card changes. For every single fight card we have, it changes from even all the UFC cards. It happens to everybody, main event, co-main event.
Yep.
So you just have to have athletes that are ready to go, who's ready to go, who's easy to deal with, and who wants to fight. So I've always had a good relationship with all the big managers in the country and all the gyms, and that's who I keep in my contact list is who's ready to fight, who's easy to deal with, and who wants to compete and stay active. And I have a huge Rolodex of people, so anytime a fight drops out, it's instantly replaced in less than 10 minutes, and that's helped out a lot. So relationships are key.
Yeah, that's huge. When I look at Fight Pass and look at Dana White, Dana talked, I think, last week or the week before about really investing in, I hate to say the word, but you are right, like Icon and Island Fights, not exactly regional, but that's the word that is used sort of to, mm-hmm. to describe these promotions outside of the UFC. But Dana was talking about the investment that needs to be made in to these promotions, and really it's an investment into the athletes, because while mixed martial arts is a gigantic sport compared to what it was, you know, 25, 30 years ago, but at this point, it's still grassroots when it comes to building these athletes, Dean. And I think that you are incredibly unique with what you've been doing between Island Fights and Icon Fighting Federation. Like you said, like if Icon is a regional show, I guess it's a Mexican regional show because half your events have been there. But this is a show that you have plans on taking all over, I would say, the country, but you got to say the world, because you've been, you know, within two countries already.
Well, you're going to do that at the same time. I'm sorry, Dana, just to interrupt for a second. You're doing the right thing, because right now the people that are the strongest, that are surviving the COVID situation, the UFC, the boxing events, you yourself, following the safety and protocol that needs to be done, you're establishing yourself as a block for the future. When this world opens up again, you're going to be stronger than ever because you maintain during this whole period. So kudos to you, my friend.
Thank you so much, Bruce. This was no easy task. And like TJ said, to touch on, our plan for Icon was to do these events. You know, Keith Boutre, the CEO of RJJ Boxing and Icon, he has a deal with all of the casinos with the El Dorado Group. So he has this exclusive combat sports deal to do fights in casinos all over the world, at all these different locations. So RJJ Boxing has been doing these shows consistently for the last few years in Iowa, Washington, San Diego, California. I mean, all Arizona, Reno, Las Vegas, you name it, Mexico, Japan. There's a lot of places. Canada's on that list. So that was the goal, and that is what was going to happen for Icon. But with COVID, we found a pretty good deal down there in Mexico. There's a lot of talent in Mexico also. So, you know, half of our card is people from South America, and the other half are people that we're bringing in from all over the world. We have people on this next card from all over the world, including Australia. We have a kid named Isaac Thompson, who's at Team Alpha Male right now, who won the International Kids IBJJF World Championships when he was 16. He's undefeated, 8-0 Muay Thai. He was trying to turn pro at 17. He's a multiple-time world champion in karate. He's making his professional debut at 18 years old on the same card where Bellamere, Frank Mir's daughter, is making her second pro fight at only 17 years old. So I think this whole COVID thing is crazy, but the fact that some of these people are competing at the age they're competing at during these times says a lot about the growth of the sport too. Is there going to be more people competing at this type of age as professionals with this talent level moving forward? So there's a lot of really cool things happening, and it's a weird time for the entire world, but we're just trying to make do.
And I think that's one thing too. The athletes are so incredibly thankful for the opportunities that are afforded to them, because like Dean said, like Bruce said, this is a time where the world has come to a standstill. And, you know, the smaller shows where, you know, these fighters that are young in their careers need to get opportunities, they primarily operate off of gates. You know, they make their money by selling tickets, and throughout most of the world right now, you can't sell tickets. So that's why it's pivotal for these relationships, I think, to exist between some of the developmental shows and Fight Pass, who's, you know, investing into it. And I think it sounds like we're going to see a lot of Icon Fighting Federation in the future, and obviously RJJ Boxing as well. And I'm happy to be a part of it. You can watch both RJJ events on Wednesday and Thursday on UFC Fight Pass, and then that Icon Fighting Federation featuring former UFC heavyweight champion Frank Mir's daughter, Bella, is on Friday night. So it'll be exciting, to say the least.
How interesting a lineage is that, right?
It's amazing.
Frank Mir's daughter coming in. Wow.
And the dynamic between them, Bruce, it's kind of insane, because you can see Frank is one part, you know, a lovable dad who's concerned and worried about his daughter. But then you see the passion and fire of a coach who wants the best for their athlete. And it's hard to try to figure out where that line is on being a loving, caring father and also being a demanding coach. But Frank does a quite good job at it. And it's fun to see that evolution play out in the ring.
I've known Frank for years. I'm sure he does a great job. Is he still considering the bare knuckle boxing?
I think so. Yeah, I think that's a signed deal. I think he's going to do it.
You know, that's another area with the COVID-19 situation.
I'm sorry.
February, Dean said.
The thing is with the COVID-19, and like Dean, you mentioned, a lot of fighters are waiting for the phone call, because obviously there's not a lot of promotions out there for them to fight in. So you have the young upcoming fighters that want to prove themselves and become champions fighting in your event, wanting to get in the UFC and so on and so forth. Then you have others past their prime, with all respect, like a Frank Mir and others, that for earning reasons of earning money and income are jumping into the bare knuckle world, you know?
All I know is I don't want Frank Mir punching me in the face. So
would never want Frank Mir punching me in the face.
No. So we can say, you know, we can hypothesize where Frank is at, but the bottom line, Bruce, he's still in phenomenal shape. I mean,
he's
this man,
he's
a born fighter, and I think he's going to continue moving forward and probably punching a lot of people in the face. And I'll be watching.
Frank is always prepared to take care of himself and protect himself in more ways than just his fist. That's
right.
All I'm going to say.
Right. And I mean, that would be the intimidating part for me. If I'm fighting Bella Mir and I look across the ring and I see Frank Mir in the damn corner, I'm like, damn, who am I fighting? Am I fighting Bella or Frank?
Yeah, check for weapons. Yeah. Got it.
My goodness.
Welcome to my life. Imagine Matt being Frank Mir's daughter.
Oh, you know, 100%.
I could imagine.
I've never
Dean, I could
paced during a fight in my entire life, and I think I was pacing. So
that's funny.
It was pretty intimidating.
All right, Dean, we'll let you get out of here. We'll see you here in a few days down in Mexico.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Bruce. Thanks,
hey,
TJ.
Appreciate it, Dean.
Dean, my pleasure. Thank you. Happy holidays, my friend. All the best wishes for success. Be careful, practice your safety and protocols you're doing, and lead by example, because that's what the world's all about. We have to lead by example. Thank you for doing what you do and keeping everybody safe in your show, my friend.
Hey, thank you so much. It's a pleasure.
Yeah, and thanks for keeping people like me employed. My goodness. Thanks, Dean.
Always.
All right, there he is, Dean Sewell. Seriously, Bruce, like, you think about it, the UFC is trudging along and doing what they need to do to keep their show going, but the smaller shows, the developmental shows that foster talent and create talent and get them to the UFC, it's been really tough for them to get out there and put on these shows and have it make financial sense. And it was announced, I think, last week or earlier this week, that Fight Pass signed 6 new promotions for 2021. Longer term deals were signed with companies like Icon Fighting Federation, and even Lion Fight, the Muay Thai organization, is now going to be on Fight Pass moving forward. So it's $9.99 a month, Bruce, and it's actually free, I think, this weekend. So if you want to take advantage of Fight Pass, you can do so. Even if you're an existing member, you log in and fill out some stuff, and you can get an introductory email, so you'll get a free weekend.
Question.
It's awesome.
Question, teacher.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Sorry.
Go ahead.
I didn't mean to stop me. What was that Muay Thai organization again?
Lion Fight.
Where are they located?
I think they're in Vegas, believe it or not.
So they're Muay Thai. They put on their shows in Vegas?
I mean, they put their shows on all over the place, but I think they're a Vegas-based company. Jen Wenk, you remember her? PR
person? Yeah, Jennifer, of course.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, she works with Lion Fight, or has in the past. I don't know if she still does. But
no, but it's cool. I'm just asking because I have a couple friends that are Muay Thai fighters that are looking for avenues to fight in.
You going to get back in the ring? I mean, we're talking about Roy Jones and Mike Tyson, like. Hey, I just played with you. Well, that sounds
never
bad.
Say
I,
never.
I played as you in the UFC video game the other day. We won a middleweight championship together, Bruce. So,
oh, there you go. Yeah. Using my skills. There you go.
You got a flying knee from hell. Let me tell you.
You know, I thank you.
I don't know if it's real, but it looks real.
The knee's real. My elbows are realer, and my elbows are my favorite. So,
you know what I got coming today, Bruce? I'm one of the lucky few that got a PlayStation 5.
Yeah, I've heard that's the machine to get.
It's hard to get. They're virtually sold out. Yeah, like their North American stock apparently was exhausted. They don't think they'll get a new supply until about spring. But I was able to get one, so I'm excited for that, and I'll definitely be playing UFC 4 on that.
Very cool. Very cool. Yeah, I love playing UFC. That game is so incredible.
It's hard, Bruce. There's a lot going on.
I hate to say this, but it's fun to play with myself.
Oh, man. I mean...
Had to say it.
I mean, you know what's funny about that? A lot of people are creating themselves, but you don't have to. You're right there. And you're in like multiple weight classes, by the way.
I thought I'm just in middleweight.
No, I think you're light heavyweight as well.
Well, that's what I should be, is light heavyweight.
Actually,
I would have fought middleweight 15 years ago, right? No, actually, I'm lighter. I'm 196 now, so I could easily fight middleweight.
Okay, wow, yeah. That would be a fairly easy cut then.
Yeah. I mean, I used to be 220, but you know, I'm dropped down. You know, during the whole COVID time.
Right. Yeah.
I'll fight either one. Give me the money. Give me the money.
There you go.
I'll do 3 2-minute rounds for you. How's that? I'll go with that 2-minute round.
I mean, yeah. Let's do it. Dane is in like 4 weight classes. He's like from welterweight all the way up to heavyweight.
Oh, that's the whole new thing with the new UFC game, because we were in 1 weight class, and when you fight Dana, my God, they give him like tree trunks for punches.
Oh, Jesus. Yeah. I mean, you know, he rules with an iron fist.
Very cool. So here, you know, you mentioned stock. IPOs are coming up. That's when companies go public and they do offerings. Airbnb is about to go public.
Really?
Yeah. And I would think that Airbnb would actually be one to take a look at. They might go public as early as like in the next couple weeks.
Have they said what the initial price point might be?
Not yet.
I mean, that would definitely be one I would invest in.
Yeah, I would take a look at that. And I hear that DoorDash may be going public soon, too.
I mean, DoorDash has I guess Uber Eats and Postmates as well. They have a class action lawsuit against them.
Yeah.
So I might be a little wary of that, but like, think about how many people have been just investing in DoorDash, like buying their product and food, during COVID. Like
COVID stocks.
Yeah.
I'm stocks to buy.
Airbnb might be a little bit worrisome because not a lot of people are traveling, but at the same time,
au contraire, my friend. Yeah, Airbnb is running out like crazy, and
really?
A lot of the I would never invest in them, but the cruise line stocks are going crazy because people are preparing for when everything comes back.
So I was down in Cancun for combat jiu-jitsu last weekend.
Yeah,
it is a ghost town.
Of course it is.
I mean, the all-inclusive resort, it's like literally you live on an estate that's just for you. You know, you walk into the restaurant or whatever, and they're like, "What do you want? I'll make it for you." Like,
well, I kind of like that.
Oh, no, it's amazing.
As long as I'm with somebody. If I'm down there single, that's going to be a boring trip.
That's what I'm saying, Bruce. Like, it's kind of a phenomenal time if you're willing to brave the elements, if you will, and go down there, because it's next to nothing as well. They're, you know, they want to get people in and get any money they can. When I landed, I noticed there were a ton of cruise ships that were docked there, and normally you don't see that many at one time just waiting, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Well, state of the times, my friend, state of the times. Listen, speaking of whatever, but you know how you like Tiger King? You love that show?
I mean, everybody enjoyed Tiger King.
It just came through today that Carol Baskin's Big Cat Rescue, one of the volunteers that had been working there for many, many years, just practically had its arm ripped off at the shoulder by a tiger. It reached through the cage to unclip a second door.
Oh,
which
wow.
break protocol. That was not the sanctuary protocol.
Mm-hmm.
And Kimba the tiger just grabbed the volunteer's arm, nearly tore it off right at the shoulder.
And I think that just goes to say that that's not a neglect on their part. I don't think that is necessarily anything that they did wrong per se. But the bottom line is, no matter how safe you are, these are gigantic wild animals.
Wild animals.
Captivity. Yeah. That like, and that's the thing, too. Like, you think about a cat's personality. Like, I don't know about you, Bruce, but I've had some cats. They're just assholes. You know what I mean? Like,
I've had nothing but incredible experiences with cats.
Like, I've had some great cats as well. But let me just say, like, there are some cats. Like, I remember this analogy. Like, saying, like, who would you rather be around? If you were, you know, shrunken down to like, Honey, I Shrunk the Kid size, would you rather try to be around your dog or be around your cat? Because I think my dog would recognize me and help me and love me. I think my cat, even if it liked me, might eat me.
I will take the dog. If you ever saw a movie called The Incredible Shrinking Man from many, many years ago, he shrinks down to like the size of a needle.
Right.
Right. And the big thing is the cat's trying to attack him through the whole movie.
Right.
So and that's just what you reminded me of.
I think the cat would know exactly who you are, but it might be like, all right, it's time for you to pay for not letting me sleep on your feet or whatever.
Appetizer.
Right.
Okay.
But your dog will love you, I promise.
Exactly. Little COVID news.
Do we have
to? Sorry to say, California is in the worst state ever. The stay-at-home order, which is in effect, that got increased on Monday, could be a total lockdown again very soon. Complete lockdown.
Again,
Los
what
Angeles.
Is that, though? Like, I hate to say this, Bruce. I hate to like, argue with this, but, like, it's not a lockdown. Sure.
I know. We went through that last week, and I understand that, but I'm only saying what they're calling it.
Yeah.
But Los Angeles now may run out of hospital beds by Christmas.
Okay? Stop doing stuff, people.
Stop doing stuff, please. I mean, they're limiting the households to what, three people a household or three? I forget what the term is. I don't know. And again, we talked about how can you enforce that, but that's what they're saying. And you know how last week
I mean, you
we
can't enforce
about,
three people a household if you have a family of five. You're not kicking two people out.
Three? I don't know.
Three, bottom line.
I forget what it was.
Bottom line is you're not supposed to go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. And like, you know, I'm just talking about being in Cancun. I understand that.
You're working.
Right. It's like I haven't gone anywhere, Bruce. Besides work, and I don't plan on it simply because I take this very seriously. Like, I wear a mask everywhere I go. You know, it's hard because not everyone even around me is doing the same thing, but we're never going to get past this unless we do what we need to do.
No, and you know how we talked last week about the swingers club in New York that got busted?
Right.
Yeah. Well, now in a few dozen swingers are battling an outbreak of COVID-19 down in New Orleans, right? There was a five-day, what they call naughty in New Orleans, romp last month of 41 swingers, of 300 swingers getting together who attended. 41 have tested positive since the event. That's 13% of the people that were there got infected.
That's incredibly low in my eyes when you consider like what's
low.
Going on.
It
like,
seems low.
But and unfortunately, that's the thing, too. Everyone is different with COVID. I talked to another guy this week who had it, and he was completely fine. And it goes back to the other gentleman I was talking about last week in the show, who was a true, honest to goodness, I'm not saying this with any hyperbole, a world-class athlete, and right. Post-COVID, can't go for a run.
No, I know. And look, the bottom line is, I can hear all these stories about like Rogan was telling me how some of his friends, they've had or people he knows, and they didn't have any big deal about it. My first thing was, everybody's different.
Right.
I don't want to hear about that.
No, when you say that, that's awesome. Like when someone says that to me, oh, I know my buddy's had it and they're fine.
That's great.
That's great. They should be thankful because it could be a lot worse.
I don't want to get it.
Right.
I don't want to take the chance.
Right. And that's the thing too. I don't want to get sick, period. Even if it's not that bad. Like if you're around me and you have the sniffles, the first thing I'm going to ask is, do you have a cold or is it allergies? Because if you have a cold, please don't come near me. I don't want to have a cold.
Let me ask you a question.
Yeah.
Switching singles here. First off, I want to give congratulations to Vanderbilt College. Sarah Fuller became the first woman to play in a Power 5 college football game in college.
Did she kick?
Yeah.
Wow. How'd she do?
Yeah, that's awesome.
How'd she do?
I don't know how she did. Just congratulations to her.
That's huge. I think you're going to see a lot of interesting decisions when it comes to kicking in football because for whatever reason, Bruce, people can't kick field goals. I don't know why.
Well, we're noticing a lot of that the last two seasons, but just like women can be on the front line for the army in war, well, hey, if you can kick that ball, go right. If you can fill the job, go right ahead.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't have a problem with a woman playing any position in any sport that is primarily for men, but like with any sort of job, you need to be able to execute and do what is needed for you to earn and maintain that spot. And you know, I don't think we're going to see a woman on the offensive line anytime soon, but if a woman can go out there and kick better field goals than any other options the team might have, great.
Go for it.
If they can play defensive back, I don't care. Go for it. Awesome. Do it.
Look, if they can play defensive back, if they can coach, which is happening too, if they can do all that, then equal opportunity, go for it. TJ, did you collect any of the UFC cards when they came out?
Yeah, I have some because our friend Jeremy from Topps was on the show. He sent me a box, so I have a couple. They're all open. I didn't leave them unopened, which is probably my bad. But
okay, that's all right. Let me give you a little example here.
Mm-hmm.
I bought one case of the original release. I think it was 2008. In 2009, they came out with the Round 2 hobby set. I have two cases of that.
Mm-hmm.
Those boxes now on eBay are selling for as much as $378 a box, the Round 2.
Right.
I paid $450 for the case. I think there's 12 boxes in the case, so now that case is worth over $4,000.
That's great. That's awesome. I don't regret opening them, Bruce, because I had a lot of fun with it.
You had fun.
But, yeah, I mean, if you have the ability to buy those and hold on to those, that's super great.
Well, there's a current bid at Heritage Auctions now for a Michael Jordan Precious Metal Gems green card, they call it. It's a very rare card. It was made in 1997, okay? And what do you think the current bid on this card is, TJ? Modern-day card, 1997. It's 9 of 100. Only 100 were made.
And Michael Jordan, you said?
Mm-hmm.
What condition?
It's actually, it's not even. It's just in the case. Oh, okay. it's a PSA graded card. PSA graded.
So 10?
It doesn't give the grade here for some reason. I don't see the grade.
I'll say 125.
Current bid is $612,500.
And there's how many?
There's 100 of them made.
Oh my
current
God!
$612,500. That's the current bid, TJ.
So there is a bid on it. It's not just like the asking price.
The current bid.
Oh my God.
The next bid allowed has to be $625,000.
That's unbelievable.
Uh huh.
Cardboard.
Yep. Now get this. You spend $625 for this card. You've got to also pay a VIG of 10 or 15% to the auction house, right? Okay, so now, and also there's another on another area too. So your $625 is actually $750,000 you have to pay for the card.
That's unbelievable.
That's what's happening. Now, Patrick Mahomes has a whole, somebody put together a whole collection of Patrick Mahomes cards.
Yeah.
This couple. Since he's done so well, they put together these cards. Now the cards are valued at a guesstimate of $7.5 million. One card he paid $325 for. Again, these are modern day cards, which I don't collect.
How many of them are there? Like how can you justify that price?
Most are one of one prints.
Okay, that's
the only
different
version of the piece in existence. That's what helps it. He's already had 7-figure offers for the sets, but he's going to hold off until he gets $7.5 million. But this most expensive card that he paid $275 for is worth around $400,000. And fact is that people want to buy it.
That's great. That's great that the card companies are investing in this product and making these things worth money. Because, like I've told you multiple times, I have a Foot Locker of 1990s baseball cards that are not worth the cardboard that they're printed on.
Right.
But with that said, how are they getting these cards? Are they selling them individually? Do you have to get the packs and open them and get them? Because I really hope that's the case. I hope that they're making these collectors buy boxes and go on the chase and not just...
Not in one-of-a-kind cards. So, I mean, it can go either way. It can be in a pack or
that.
It can be sold individually.
I don't like that. Like, if you're going to make one of one and it's just available, how's a nine-year-old going to get it? And that's, at the end of the day, to me, I know it's a business, Bruce, but this is still something that I think is designed and made for collectors of all ages. And if you can't even get those when you're, you know, a kid just with your allowance, that's kind of a bummer.
Yeah, it's a bummer, but it is what it is, and you know, survival of the fittest and all that goes with it.
But it's not survival of the fittest. Like that's
survival of the luckiest.
But it's not luck. Like if it's a $500 card, one of one, I don't care how lucky you are, 9 year old, you don't have $500. You're not getting it.
Then it's up to guys like you and me to buy it. It's just the way it is.
I hate it.
I don't. I can see the methodology.
Do you understand what I'm saying though? Like you're,
I understand. You say the kid, but the kid, a 9 year old kid, is not thinking like we're thinking right now. They're not thinking big numbers. They're thinking just to have a card of their hero.
I disagree with that. But my point is this. I loved the idea of a kid collecting baseball cards when he was in elementary school and then selling them for his first car.
Love
or,
it too.
or going to college. But what we're saying now is you're not making that possible because they're only going to be able to buy the packs, Bruce, that are meaningless and worthless. And adults are going to buy these one of ones, and those kids are never going to get their hands on it. And I'm fine if you want to sell the one-offs here and there. Make two. Make one available for the highest bidder. You sell it through your website or whatever you want. But put one in a pack. Give me one Charlie in the Chocolate Factory golden ticket and make this available for the kids.
I have no problem with that. But, I have no problem with that. Do it any way you want. It'll still be worth money. I have no problem with any of this. So all of the above is fine with me.
All right.
Now, this isn't a collector's thing, but Elvis Presley's honeymoon home in Palm Springs just hit the market for $2.5 million. The one that he and Elvis and Priscilla Presley enjoyed their honeymoon in. I'm not that much. I mean, I'm a fan of Elvis and all, but it's not like I'd have to buy his house.
No. And honestly, is it still in the same sort of model and shape that it was when he was there? I would guess not. And if it was, the actual value of it would probably not be all that great. And in a market like Palm Springs, you can't really have an older home be worth a lot of money. So you're paying for nothing but nostalgia, which I think is a bit foolish.
Probably the case. I'm not familiar with the market down there. I can't say. It's just an interesting little tidbit.
I love Palm Springs.
I love it. Yeah. I love it. I've always had a great time down there. Here's another one that's very interesting. This couple, we're going to end the show on this. Kind of a feel-good story. I wouldn't call it. Maybe if they drank it, it's a feel-good story. But this couple, they bought a home in New York, an older home. It's a 100-year-old home. So they were doing some renovation. And it's a home that was made in the Prohibition era, right?
Okay.
They found 66 bottles of Prohibition whiskey encased in the wall, hidden in the wall.
I bet you it doesn't taste as good as Puncher's Chance.
No, probably doesn't. But you know what? I'd really like to taste it and see what it tastes like. But I wonder if there's any value to that. It doesn't say it, but you wonder if there's any value to those bottles. There has to be a value to those bottles.
I mean, there are collectors of everything. And I think moonshiners, things like that do intrigue people. So I'm sure that definitely has an evaluation of probably more than, we're thinking. But beyond that, like, whiskey does well when it ages, right? So, like, it should be better.
I can't say. I would hope that'd be the case. I hope they're having fun celebrating and drinking a little and not getting sick from it. So
right,
that's what I want to
say
there.
And if it doesn't taste good, they can get Puncher's Chance.
Yeah. Just display the bottles.
Right.
Okay. So Saturday night, I'll be in Vegas. We've got a UFC fight night in Vegas. Jack Hermanson and Marvin Vittori on the main card. Yep. Vince St. Preux back for the 150th time in 6 months against Jamal Hall Hill.
OSP is the underdog around plus 140 to 150.
Is he really?
Yeah, which is interesting to me because Hill, while he's undefeated and is a very good fighter, has never faced anyone with the skill set and experience of Ovin St. Preux. So if you're looking to put a little cash, a little flyer out there, you might want to be down with OSP.
Well, I'd listen to T, considering you called a draw last week and you bet on it and you won money.
I bet $60 at plus 1,200 for a return of 780.
And I completely forgot about it and said I was going to put 10,000 on it. I would have put 1,000, and I completely forgot after the show, or I would have cleared up.
Yeah, they took that line down almost immediately after our show.
I checked the day of the fight. I couldn't even find a place to bet anything.
Yeah, no, it changed. I honestly think that I took advantage of a poor line. I think the odds maker wasn't supposed to put that out, but I saw
it. Sympathy for odds.
Oh, I have no sympathy whatsoever. Whatsoever.
Those guys are going to the bank 10 times more than you are.
No, and trust me, I'll probably give it back before I take it out. But the bottom line was, I think I got lucky on seeing that. But
if
Ovin St. Preux hits, that might be a little more skill and insight. But we'll find out on Saturday.
Well, yours truly doesn't bet on fights that I announce.
Of course not. You can't. But guys like me.
No, I can, but I won't.
Guys like me can.
Nope.
Our listeners can.
All right. Well, enjoy it, guys. I'll see you all from the Octagon on Saturday. TJ, anything before we close the show to tell the audience?
No, just if they want to check out Icon Fighting Federation and RJJ Boxing next week. If we do a show, I'll be down in Mexico. We've done it a few times. I think we talked to Frankie Edgar down there, so I'm not too worried about the logistics. But hopefully they'll do that. And then also, Extra Rounds is available now, the new show that I do this week with Ray Longo. We talked to Ben Askren about his new show on Fight Pass called Funky Family, where it's a mockumentary of him and Chase Hooper, who both have curly hair and look somewhat alike, pretending essentially that Chase is Ben's son. And it's very funny. It's stupid. Like, it's ridiculous. Like, it's dumb. but I can't stop watching it, Bruce. And I think everybody has a show like that, and now Fight Pass has a show that MMA fans can get into, so check that out. But you can also get the archive of Extra Rounds, all 37 episodes available now on UFC Fight Pass, which has that free weekend this weekend, so take advantage.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, everybody. Thank you again for all your videos and audio orders coming into brucebuffer.com, coming into my cameo.com page. Busier than ever. Now the holidays are here. I'm getting a lot of orders for holiday videos, Christmas, Hanukkah, everything. People wanting special wishes to their family and family members. Just check out brucebuffer.com. Send in your orders there. Partial proceeds do go to military, children, and animal charities. Also, too, I'll be in the Octagon on Saturday, as I mentioned, for UFC Fight Night. I will see you from the Octagon Saturday. I'll be back next week for UFC 256, my last two UFC shows of the year. And then we're on to January, wherever we hold them in January, whether it's Vegas or Abu Dhabi, that is yet to be announced, yet to be seen. Bottom line, everybody, the holidays have started. I put up the Christmas tree at my mom's the other day. I'm getting in the Christmas spirit after Thanksgiving. It's love Christmas, even this COVID-19 times. Have the most wonderful time. Keep the Christmas spirit, the joy, everything. Be happy. Set your goals. Write them down. Get knowledgeable about everything you want to do in life. So when you get on that path, you take that step on that yellow brick road, you are the best you can be. And it doesn't always mean to be number one or number two or number 10. The bottom line is, if you're first, you're first. But if you're the best you can be, then you're winning. So keep winning, because that's what we're all about here on It's Time Radio. Have a great week. Stay safe. Wear your mask. Practice your protocol. Lead by example. We're still in a pandemic. We're in a war, folks. This is a war, but we're going to win, and we're going to end the year great. End the year strong to start the year strong. Love you all. Big cheers. No fears forever. See you next week. Buffer out.